Right now, it's Nick Wilson versus a bunch of Walmart Ohio State fans who are raging at Ryan Day for not beating Nebraska by 75 points and having the gall to lose to Oregon, who's probably going to be one of the five final teams left in college football. And I need somebody to help me out here. Or, honestly, if Pete has flipped on Ryan Day, I guess it's just time I give up. And we welcome him on, as we do every single Thursday at 4 p.m. The great Pete Vutek joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Pete, I'm tired.
I'm with you. You know, I get it. And here's the thing, and this kind of feeds into the problem where I've said to you before that Ohio State fans are, and they wear this with pride whenever I say it, are really the most miserable fans in sports. oh, poor you. Oh, you're like one of the top three teams in the country, and you're going to play for the national championship this year. But it's not good enough. It's not enough. Because like you said. Now, to their point, if you've got this team, and you know, I've been bullish all year saying this is the best team in college football. Yeah, they should be, you know, playing better. They should be a little sharper at this point. Stinks that the offensive line is banged up. But I still go back to this stat, which I think I've repeated now maybe 4 weeks in a row. Like, as bad as last week was, and at least in terms of the optics, the stat still holds. That defense has only given up more than 17 points twice since the loss to Georgia the end of 2022, and that was to Michigan, and that was to Oregon. That's it. So the team's still playing well, and if you want to go kooky on the other side here, look at the Nebraska fans who are going out of their minds, saying, oh, the offense is stalled. Well, yeah, you just played Ohio State, okay? I mean, like, all fan bases are a little crazy right now. But look, you know, I get it. I get the little angst because you can see it's coming. But look across the college football landscape and find me the team other than – I'm still quite buying to Oregon. Find me the team that's absolutely 1,000% for real better than Ohio State right now.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. I just don't get – like, listen, Penn State's a really good team, all right? They really are. And it's a 3.5-point line in Ohio State's favor on the road for a reason. But, like, it's James Franklin. I don't know why people are panicking about a hypothetical loss to Penn State when James Franklin is 1-9 against Ohio State. And I don't know this is Penn State's best team under Franklin.
Yeah, you know what? I'm forgetting the recent issues aside. I'm also a James Franklin backer for a little of the same thing where his biggest sin is that he can't beat Ohio State, which, again, you're talking about the elite of the elite. You know, it's like all those SEC teams. Yeah. Oh, but he can't beat Alabama. Like, well, yeah, but Alabama's also been really amazing over the last several years. So he can't beat Alabama, or he can't beat, you know, Michigan. He can't beat Ohio State. But again, they beat everyone else. So eventually, one of these games are going to flip. There's just that little extra edge. They've got a ton of talent. They don't have Ohio State talent. And that's where this has to come in. And this is not a team, with the killer pass rush of the last few years. Ohio State should win this. It'll be obviously a fight, but they should win. But look, I mean, it's what you kind of want to see is, does Ohio State have that, okay, let's go, that one little extra gear that Georgia was able to show against Texas, where, you know, Georgia's playing like one of those NBA teams where it's, you know, mid-December, it's like, all right, let's just get there already. But when they have to turn it on, they can do that. To me, because of all this pressure and all this, you know, things you're talking about, this team is already looking fried. I mean, that is a stressed-out head coach. That is a stressed-out program. That is a stressed-out team. And they're winning. So, yeah, I mean, it just seems like a whole big powder keg waiting to blow if, God forbid, they lose this. And even if they lose this, they're still probably in the college football playoff mix. So they're fine.
So with all that, what does this game come down to?
Look, can Ohio State's offensive line hold up? And that's obviously the next man up at Ohio State's better than just about anybody else's next guy, starter guys. But can they just hold up enough to get the running game going early? The defense will hold on. Yeah, again, the defense is not going to give up more than 17 points in this. Unless there's a special teams play or something else kind of, you know, kooky, you know, some sort of a pick six or something that goes wrong, The defense itself will be just fine against this Penn State offense. It's not that explosive. It's not that tough. It's just, can Ohio State's offense just get out to a decent start? Just get going right away. Take a little of the pressure off and then lean on the running game and get a little bit. Because what's the one thing you can do with a beat-up offensive line? You can run. Because then you just tell the new guys, okay, look, we don't really need as much cohesion. Just line up and blast the guy in front of you and let's just power away a little bit here. So you want to be able to do that a little bit.
Pete Futek, College Football News on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So I do want to play this out with you because I've had at least two Donnybrooks about this Ohio State thing, the Ryan Day stuff, in the last 48 hours. And a lot of it is, if you're going to do something to Ryan Day, whether it's he doesn't beat Michigan this year, he doesn't make the playoffs, or doesn't win a national championship, I need a better name.
And that's always the case. Exactly. Who is this magical guy who is going to come in and be better than whatever it is and win like 81% of his games instead of 80 or whatever it is that Ryan Day is at right now?
The only guy I could think of, and I don't think he'd do it because I think he's quite content where he is Dan Lanning. I don't think anybody other than Dan Lanning, to me, would be worth it.
Yeah, I guess. But again, they won a game at home by one when Will Howard had gone down a second earlier, maybe Ohio State wins that. I mean, like, again, I guess. I mean, but Dan Lanning's also taking what was, built up over years under Cristobal and William Willie Taggart. But just to get this thing up and going. But I guess, but like, again, you're still, you're still taking a chance here. I mean, it's so hard to win college football games, and it just gets so lost where, look, I live here in Chicago, and, after the Hail Mary loss, fire everyone. And it's like, guys, it's a regular season loss in the NFL. You move on, you win the next game, okay, fine, and you're still, you're still okay. You can't do that in college. You can't have a loss, especially at a place like Ohio State, or, at the moment, look at what, the fan base is Oklahoma and USC and, Florida and all these other big, giant schools, which would love to be in Ohio State's place right now. But, again, it's all about you cannot lose ever. And, again, there's no magical guy out there. I mean, you're not going to get Urban Meyer. You're going to bring him back. Everyone likes him. Remember, every SEC program wanted Hugh Freeze. Hugh Freeze beat Nick Saban a couple times. Hugh Freeze, oh, my gosh, look what he did with Ole Miss when before all that. And now he's on a hot seat at Auburn. Lincoln Riley's on a hot seat at USC. It's hard to win college football games, and if you find someone who can do it at a really high level, you don't mess with it.
All right, Oregon, Penn State, Ohio State, Indiana. Those are the four teams right now on ESPN's playoff predictor that have that are in the playoffs, in the top 12 of their playoff predictions. Which one of those teams is most likely to miss the playoffs?
Indiana. Hell, reality's coming to breakfast soon. I love Kurt Cignetti. This is great, but give me the great win they've got. Give me the great team they've played. I mean, honestly, Michigan State this weekend is probably their toughest game that they've played yet. Now, with all that said, if you've got an easy schedule, then then just go out there and drill them by a million. And that's what Indiana's doing. And it's Indiana. Like, what do they care? For years, if it was so easy. Look, Indiana doesn't win football games ever, and they're destroying teams right now. So yes, they have not played a great schedule. They might be that good. I mean, Cignetti and his staff and his style are that good. They just haven't proven it yet. Definitely Ohio State, definitely Oregon, and I think Penn State, if you look at what they've got, Penn State, even if they lose close this weekend, even the loser of this game this weekend is going to still be fine and get into the top 12 somehow.
Pete, the other big game this weekend, Michigan hosting Oregon. Michigan is a three-loss team. Oregon's is the number one team in the country. I will ask you, Michigan wins this game if... finish the sentence.
Oh, Powerball. They've got to be able to run. They've got to be physical. Look, if you get the Oregon team that was physical and manned up against Ohio State, that's a problem. Michigan's got to be able to run they're not going to throw out a lick. So they're going to have to run it. They're going to have to control the clock for like 38 minutes, and they're going to have to keep this close until late. The defense is still good. You know, it's not as good as last year's, but no one's is. They just have to be able to take control of the tempo and the clock right out of the gate. But, again, you want to talk about the be careful what you wish for types of things. You know, I had to be – I was the head of the Jim Harbaugh Apologist Club for years and years and years. I'm like, all right, Michigan fans, this is your – who else is going to be this guy that comes in and does it? And obviously Harbaugh flipped that around. So, again, it goes to the – sometimes the coaches, when something works, you take him out of the equation, and all of a sudden things don't work. And right now at Michigan, things are not working because, look, they're going to probably lose to Oregon. Look at the rest of their schedule. That's a 6-6 team. You know, that's the, you go from winning the national championship last year to fighting to get to a bowl game. Washington played for the national championship last year. It might not make a bowl game. It's probably a 5-7 team this year if they don't beat USC this week. Oklahoma probably isn't going to a bowl game. There are all these big-name teams, and Michigan might be one of them if they get trounced this weekend. That's going to be, they're not going to fight for their bowl life, but they're going to have to do some work still to get one.
You hate to see it. It is Halloween, Pete. So your feelings on Halloween as an adult, love it, like it, or leave it?
Love it. Except what I do, I am so fried at this point in the season of sleep deprivation, and everything. It just doesn't compute with me. It seems like everyone else has a lot of fun with it, but there are enough crazy, scary things in the world. I don't need more scary stuff, but I enjoy the thing, and I do like the idea of little kids coming around and dressing up and having fun. So I do enjoy that sense.
You know, if you're too fried, glaucoma medication is legal in Chicago, and Halloween candy goes very well with it from what I've heard.
And I would close my eyes and wake up 3 days later after it. So Yes, I'm very aware of how that all sort of starts.
But you said that like it was a bad thing. Get in the spaceship and go light speed, my friend.
Oh, I would love to, but I only have the rest of college football previews to write for this weekend. So it's fun, though. But I am a fan. I do enjoy the whole Halloween thing.
Where we're going, we don't need roads. Pete, excellent stuff,
exactly.
Buddy. Appreciate you.
Anytime. You have a good one.
Pete Futek, college football news on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. I just realized I kind of sounded like a drug peddler there. Not great. We can do better. We will do better. And the Browns is a dangerous team next on 92.3 The Fan. Have not talked a lot of Browns as of yet today, but when Albert Breer joined us earlier this week, because we were going to do this yesterday, breaking news kind of got in the way of it. Albert had a very specific way of defining this iteration of the Cleveland Browns. That I don't know, jives with my expectations, but it might with yours.
I mean, it's almost like it gave everyone a shot in the arm. I think it's still a pretty talented roster. And is it too late? I don't know. You know, they're 2-6, so they would really, really need to get hot here to have a prayer of making the playoffs. But, I mean, some of the things we saw, they threw for over 300 yards. You know, Jameis has the big play at the end of the game. They get something out of Cedric Tillman that they haven't gotten before. You know, Jerry Jeudy has a chance to really develop with Jameis as his quarterback. Elijah Moore, you know what you've got him. And then Joku. And hopefully, Chubb will keep getting health. I don't know, man. It looks like a dangerous team. I don't know if I'd call them a good team right now, but definitely a dangerous team based on what we saw against Raven.
So that's an interesting idea. The Browns is a dangerous team. And I'll ask you just full out. Are you expecting the Browns to be a dangerous team going forward? Because I continue to go back to, anything more than Sunday was a lot of fun and the offense looked a lot better, and I'm excited to see if they can double that up. I think beyond that, because here's what I don't want to do. We clearly, for 7 weeks, beat the Browns to a pulp every single week. Because they didn't fulfill the expectations of, one, looking like a playoff team, two, winning, and at any point, looking like a cogent offense, or looking like they even had a plan, concepts of a plan of a cogent offense. And the reason why I bring that up is, I feel like everybody's jumping ahead and trying to use the win over the Ravens as some way to double back and be like, see, our expectations weren't wrong. One game versus seven games. That's where I think we're at right now. I'm very excited. I'm so grateful for a win over the Ravens And the biggest reason I'm grateful for that is I think the Browns have chances to win again. The thing that the first seven games of the season beat out of me at a merciless, merciless pace was my thought that this team could contend and compete on Sundays. I think it was after the Raiders game that I flat out said I'm not predicting the games anymore. And unlike, like sometimes people say, well, I don't want to pick the games because if we get wrong, you guys jam me up about it. I don't care about that. If I'm wrong about something, jam away. Guys, it's sports. Well, it's supposed to be fun. Talking about sports is not life or death. There are no consequences. This is just pure, unadulterated fun. It's like Halloween if you don't do anything illegal. It's just fun. Let's just have some fun here. But specific to this team, I stopped predicting that they were going to win. I stopped predicting the games because I stopped having faith in their ability to pull out a win. And by the way, I'm still not back to picking them. I'm not going to, and when I say that, what I mean is I'm not picking the games. I'm not doing it because I'm sick of weaponizing expectations. When they got to 1-6, we all had frank conversations, even with Deshaun's injury. Well, what does this mean? And the truth is, between a 1-6 start and a Herculean from Pittsburgh on, the first Pittsburgh game, November 21st, just almost impossible back end of the schedule. If they do it, it'll be so much fun. If they do it, it'll unfold in a way that none of us see coming. And we should, instead of trying to predict that's going to happen, we should just enjoy it. But we should also just enjoy where they are right now. Because we are playing consequence-free football. If they win, well, guys, it's fun to win. And at no point can any of us say it's not fun to win. Me likey winning, okay? And if they lose, well, it probably tells us that this team wasn't quite ready for what we wanted them to be, which is a consistent winner. And I think, listen, for fans, it makes a lot of sense. It makes sense when you jump the shark or when you get ahead of expectations. That's the best part about being a fan. One of the things that being in sports talk and paying far too much attention to sports and how they work, one of the things that gets beaten out of you really quickly is this concept of flights of fancy and this idea of, well, they won one season, so they should win again. But like as a fan, the best thing is unbridled hope. That kind of gets beat out of you when you do a show. That kind of gets beat out of you when you're when you have proximity to the teams themselves. So I'm not saying don't have hope. Best part of being a fan is unbridled hope. But you can enjoy what we're seeing on Sundays in lieu of a bigger sample size that will tell us who the Browns truly are. If they lose on Sunday, guys, it's going to suck. You're going to lose to Harbaugh again, which I think we've all had enough of losing to Harbaughs, whether it's Ohio State fans or Browns fans with Jim or John anytime you play them. But, like, I get this sense that there are a lot of people kind of waiting, right? And going into the season, I think I made this comparison with Spencer yesterday. There are a lot of people going into the season waiting, just waiting for Deshaun to have a good game or waiting for him to have a bad game. So whichever way you lean, whatever that game was confirmation bias. So as the guy who was trying to be Switzerland at the end of Watson Wars, it was untenable. If you said the guy had a better game than the last week, you somehow got mobbed. If you said he had an awful game, you somehow got mobbed. We don't have to have those conversations anymore. And the difference here, by the way, is with Deshaun, one good game really wasn't enough. Deshaun needed to stack 4, 5, 6 good games in a row for anybody to start being converted about Deshaun or even the more optimistic people believing that Deshaun finally would show up. We don't have to worry about that because we're starting from a clean... The beauty of having your season declared over on October 21st. One, they still play games, so it's not really over. It was a premature deadline we all put there. Right, there's still, as long as they're games, there's still hope. As long as you haven't been mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, there's still hope. But two, is it allowed the Browns to basically reboot the season? And you rebooted it with Jameis as the quarterback, with Ken Dorsey is the play caller, hopefully with DeJuan Jones as the left tackle, and a myriad of little changes around that. So this game should not, under any circumstances, completely change the way we feel about the Cleveland Browns. It's going to some degree, because if you go to 2-7, math does start to math real hard on you. But when it comes to what the Baltimore game represented, the rare in-season fresh start, that's still here. Like the let's have fun thing, I think that's where we should be. We haven't, when I say we, I mean this Browns team has not earned the right to have expectations for it. I don't mean that in a cruel way. What I mean is they're 1-0 post Deshaun. That's not enough for me to say Super Bowl, Super Browns. It's not enough for me to say this is a completely different team. The energy looked different. It was a lot of fun. And you beat Baltimore, which is like two wins. It's not. It only counts for one. But it feels like a million wins at once because bleep that town, bleep those people. And by the way, to these jackasses that every year try and make Art Modell a Hall of Famer, go away. I don't care you like the man, okay? I understand the historical significance. It'd be really hard to own a football team for 40 years and not have some impact on the NFL. Stop putting him in the Hall of Fame. Stop trying it, all right? Turn your gears to players who've earned it, like Clay Matthews. I must say Clay Matthews Jr. Yeah, because Clay Matthews, we just saw, was Clay Matthews. Clay Matthews Jr. Put it for players who put their neck and back and knees on the line, who have somehow been forgotten because they didn't play on the right team or they weren't in a Super Bowl. Don't put it on a bad businessman who ripped the heart out of a town because he happened to put him in a place where you like it. Oh, and by the way, he sold it to a guy who actually made the team successful. I blacked out. But getting back to the Browns, we shouldn't have expectations. Because expectations can be the enemy of happiness if this team isn't quite ready to match them. If this team isn't quite ready to meet them. I don't know who they are. So like even setting this team, when I threw this out there, 216-474-0092, are you expecting the Browns to be a dangerous team? I think this team has the talent to play spoiler. Even if you subtract Zadarius, even if you subtract a Greg Newsome, even if you subtract one of the guys that I think is the core, like a guy like David Njoku, wouldn't do it, but I understand the idea behind it. I wouldn't really support subtracting Wyatt Teller, but I understand the idea behind it. Even if you do that, I think you have enough talent, as long as they're healthy. Which right now they're not healthy. JOK's out. Denzel, it's hard to see Denzel playing. But if you have a modicum of health, I don't know that you're going to beat enough teams like Pittsburgh twice or Denver or Kansas City or the Bengals again. You lost to them the first time. I meant if you beat them in late in the season, Miami, like Baltimore, I don't know if you're going to be able to do that. Meaning win enough games to truly, truly, truly put this thing back on the map and make them a playoff team. And my fear is 8-9 doesn't get you any closer to the playoffs, nor does it get you any closer to getting a franchise quarterback. And that's the fun of the regular season is going to make it tougher in the offseason to get where you need to be, which is to be a consistent playoff contender and be able to compete every single year. This franchise needs stabilized. And the only way you stabilize is if you stabilize a quarterback position, but that's for another day. Today, I think they absolutely have enough talent to be a dangerous team. I absolutely think they have enough talent to be a spoiler. I don't know they have enough talent, and I don't know they have the right road ahead to be a playoff team. But I think they can be a dangerous team. But you got to start with a win over the Chargers. As much as I want them to be a dangerous team, you got to start with the Chargers. And I think there are some people taking it to the bank that you're just going to roll up to the stadium on Sunday and you're just going to put the boots to the Chargers and the narrative is going to change. That is a bridge too far. The road to being a dangerous team, though, starts on Sunday. 216-474-0092. Are the Browns, are you personally expecting the Browns to be a dangerous team? That doesn't mean a playoff team, but a team that at the very worst can be a spoiler for several teams down the stretch. More on that in Halloween. Next on 92.3 The Fan. I think when it comes to Halloween candy, I think gummy candy has officially overtaken chocolate candy. And I don't know if it's that it's become more popular or it's easier to dispense, but I will tell you, chocolate candy has never let me down, other than the obvious obesity thing. But, like, when you open up a Reese's, hits it out of the park. Like, it's just never, I've never had, like, as somebody who that's my favorite candy, I've never had it and been like, that's okay. Or, it wasn't enough. But the amount of times I've opened up gummy candies that I've stolen from my children, very important that I let you know that. The amount of times for Halloween size stuff, and it's like three Lifesavers gummies. It's half the time. I think we're being bamboozled here. All right? And I, on behalf of the fats and the parents who steal their kids' candies, and on behalf of chunky but not exactly fat but certainly not skinny people, and some skinny people who just maybe have like conditions that they can eat candy and just whatever, the point is people who like candy, gotta say it's a problem. I have no, like, I will be honest, I've gotten to a point where I think gummy candy is as popular in my own mind. Like, on any given night I can go gummy or I can go chocolate. It's a big change for me as a fat. But I do think, like, we're going to make this switch where you're going to hand out more gummy candy than you are chocolate candy, you got to be consistent with the portions. Because I got to say, the number one complaint I heard from the Wilson girls this year is you open up a thing of gummy candy and you get two things. Not five things, not six things, two things, and this will not abide. So the question is 216-474-0092. I don't know why I had to look at the number. I've said it for 2 years now that we've changed it. Gummy candy, has it overtaken chocolate candy? Whether it's in popularity on Halloween or your own personal love of this. Meredith, I throw to you first.
I
kind of killed the bit now.
Oh my God. No, you killed the bit by calling me out for hitting the wrong button where my microphone is.
You knew here I did it to somebody for 2 years. You also left.
Oh, so you're saying you want me to leave?
No, okay. No, I'm saying there's a trend of things happening due to my own behavior.
You chase people
Everyone
away.
Left me. I started the show. Everybody had been here for a decade.
Do you have abandonment issues?
Mac. What?
Do you have abandonment issues?
I think that's pretty apparent. Now.
So, well, I was thinking when it comes to gummy candy with kids, I think because you can make more novelty out of gummy candy, like you can do eyeballs and I think there was like bones or pumpkins. Like you can do all different types of shapes, whereas like a Reese's or even like a Snickers or a Milky Way, they're always going to look the same for the most part. I mean, with Reese's, you've got like the shapes.
I think this might be an outdated candy take. Everybody's got shapes now. Like Reese's pumpkins.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, they are the best. That is correct. But no, I'm saying more in like more like candy bars, like Snickers or Milky Ways or whatever. They're always going to look and feel the same. Whether they're the mini ones or the full size ones, but with gummies, there's so many different flavors and there's so many different shapes that you can do. Whereas, like you did say, Reese's are always going to hit, but it's always going to be chocolate and peanut butter.
So you know,
there's no variety. It's always chocolate and peanut butter.
As you were, because Snickers is different. That's peanuts. It's totally different. It's a Hershey bar.
I'm about to walk out on you, Nick.
Some of your takes are wildly straw man or straw woman. Excuse me. Can I tell you what I realize though? In this whole conversation, because I'm going to get to Jake here in a moment, I don't feel half as guilty about crushing like a whole bag of gummy candy as I do if I just crushed a whole thing of chocolate.
Because it's lower calories?
No, there's no difference. Both okay. Lead to diabetes, right? Like there's no spinning. Well, you know, this is, you can have like a bag and a half before you go into a diabetic coma. The other one, they hit you in one bag. No. It's not logical. I have no idea why. I'm like, yeah, so I crushed a whole thing of Starburst gummies. Of course. Yeah, that's not a deal. But yet I feel shame the instant I have the second Reese's. Jake, has gummy candies overtaken chocolate candies?
I want to say it has. At least for me, it has. When it comes to chocolate candies, there are like two that I like a lot more that I dislike. But I like The two chocolate candies that I like are definitely better than gummy candies, right? But when it comes to gummy candies, there's more variety for me and my taste.
You were shaking your head a lot when I was talking about Reese's.
Yeah, I don't like Reese's.
That was the last you'll ever hear of Jake Murren here. Yep. I mean, you had me until I don't like Reese's. 216-474-0092. I'm just curious. If any other parents out there, or fats, please let me know which one or both you are. If you've noticed this trend, because I think I've noticed it I know it's been happening, but man, I think we hit critical mass in this specific Halloween, judging on the small sample size of three giant bags of candy that my kids have accrued that I have then parentally taxed. We did have, we were doing the conversation about, are you expecting the Browns to be a dangerous team for the rest of the season? That guy in Cleveland sent in something that I think bears discussion, saying, I went from having losing expectations to I expect them to put up a fight after what I saw on Sunday. That, I think, is where we should be with this Browns team. I think where we should be is I expect them to be competitive, and I expect them to have a real chance to win in every one of these games, where at the end of the game, if they lose, I don't think to myself, well, I knew that was going to happen. Like, and the Raiders game is a little different because they had a beautiful play from Deshaun to Amari that, of course, will never count in history because it was called back. I was so surprised after the Washington game how in the Philly game and the Cincy game, games which they had chances to win, ample opportunities, neither of those games were far out of reach. I had no belief when they had multiple chances to go down the field. And guys, it wasn't just about Deshaun. Because for the previous 6 or 7 weeks, every time you got within an earshot of making a play that could change the game, somebody did something stupid and unforgivable. And I think what's really interesting is to see, because that didn't happen against Baltimore, I need to see more of that not happening before I can wave any brown and orange flags here or do things as what I would say is nonsensical, is start having expectations for this season, for this team specifically. Let's go with Tommy in Brunswick. Tommy, we got about 30 seconds, buddy. What you got for us?
Thank you so much, Nick. Listen, I'm telling you, I love this Jameis Winston guy. I don't know what about him it is, but I like him, and I think he's good. He was pretty good with, you know, the Saints, you know, and he comes here, and I think he's the Flacco type of quarterback, and I think we're going to win Sunday. I'm going to the game Sunday, and I think we're going to win, and I think we're going to win a few more games. We're not going to, you know, I don't know about the playoffs and anything like that, but I like Jameis Winston, and I think he's good for the team, and he's so positive. He's just such an energetic speaker and all that stuff. So anyway, I like him, and I think we're going to win with him, and, you know, if we sign him next year, we sign him next year. If not, well, oh well, we'll get somebody else. But
Tommy,
I like him.
We got to run, buddy. Appreciate you. Thank you very much. Tommy in Brunswick there. Mac on Twitter saying, is Starburst a gummy candy? They have gummy Starburst now. And an all pink bag, too. It's pretty good. The 5 at 5 next on 92.3 The Fan.